Now the pitch. It's deep to left field. It's way back there. Going, going, and this one is in the stream for a home run for Leo Cardenas. Number 20 for Cardenas. And the score is tied. The Reds won the next one. And that is the all-time Cincinnati record for home runs by a shortstop. Eddie Miller has the club record of 19. Cardinals has 20. That announcement is being made to the crowd, and you hear the crowd reaction. But more importantly to the Mets, the score is tied 1-1. Nobody out, nobody on, and Mil Pappas, the pitcher, is up. Ball is belted to left field, landing in the screen above the fence and left. Pappas has been up one time and bunted into a double play on the option play. Here's a foul ball out of play, bounding on into the field boxes back at third. Pappas was up in the third inning. Cardenas was on his first, nobody out. Pappas bunted. Played umpire Billy Williams called interference as he interfered with Hawk Taylor. Bob Shaw came up with the ball, fired it to Harrelson and on to first for a double play, so the Mets had an option of taking the play or the call on Pappas at the plate. Here's a swing and a miss on a breaking ball. It's two strikes to Pappas. The rule was changed a few years ago to allow an option on a play so that a team could not profit by having had an infraction call. Here's a swing and a high pop foul back at third. Chuck Giller chases it over. It's playable to him. He makes the grab. One away. Tommy Harper's coming up. He's one for two, and he's stolen a base here tonight. And that's one run on five hits. The Reds, one run on four hits. Pitch low for a ball. Tommy Harper, the right fielder. Harper has a season batting average of .274. Pitch is on the outside corner. Harper moving out to bunt on the ball, trying to pull the bat off, but it is a strike at 1-1. Tommy Helms has moved out on deck. Shaw's 1-1 offering. Swung on it on the ground to second. Ron Hunt up with the ball. He plays to Crane Pool, and there are two men off. Right here at Crosley Field in Cincinnati, we pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
Your station for sports in the great Northeast, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around.
This is Lindsey Nelson with Bob Murphy and Ralph Kiner at Shea Stadium in New York. Here is the pitch, or rather at Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Here's the pitch to Helms in there for a called strike. We'll be at Shea Stadium in New York on Tuesday night with the Mets taking on the Chicago Cubs on Tuesday night and Wednesday afternoon. Then the final series at Shea Stadium on the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. Here's a swing and a foul ball. Two strike count. We'll be back here at Crosley Field again tomorrow afternoon. Score tied, 1-1. Now, time is called, and Dave Bristol, the manager of the Cincinnati Reds, comes out to have a word with Bill Williams, the plate umpire again. apparently having to do with the charge that Bob Shaw throws a spitball. Bristol Air hands in his hip pocket, bracing Williams and continued conversation. Shaw, meanwhile, is standing on the mound. And now Dave Bristol spreads his hands, and Billy Williams takes off the mat. And it's getting to be a heated conversation, and Bristol turns and strides back toward the dugout. There are two men out, nobody on base, and here's a two-strike delivery to Tommy Helms. Curveball in there for a call, strike three, and the side is retired. Shaw picking up his third strikeout, a good curveball. One run on one hit, the homer by Cardinals, no errors, none left. Score at the end of six full innings is the Mets one and the Reds one. Bob Murphy will be along for the play-by-play in just a moment. Right now, do you ever stop to think of how many lonesome travelers there are here in yonder and how thirsty they get?
Well, I am a lonely and a lonesome traveler. I am a lonely and a lonesome traveler. I am a lonely and a lonesome traveler. I've been a-traveling on. I traveled here and then I...
From California to New York, the American folk singer travels here and yonder, carrying with him the music of the whole world and its peoples. And sometimes when the traveling gets thirsty, he puts down his guitar and accompanies himself with a cold beer, maybe Rheingold. And in New York City, where more songs and travelers stop than anywhere else in the world, more people buy Rheingold Extra Dry than any other beer. How come? Maybe it's the Oregon hops we use. Who knows? But we must be doing something right.
Now we go to the seventh inning here at Crosley Field, and while the teams are exchanging sides, Dave Bristol came out to continue his running verbal battle with umpire Billy Williams. We are completely in the dark, but are speculating that it has something to do with Bob Shaw not wiping off his fingers after going to his mouth. But possibly not, because Billy Williams went into a conference with the crew chief of the umpiring team, Tom Gorman, to talk it over. And now Billy calls Bristol out and wants to give the edict of umpire Tom Gorman. Dave Bristol, 33-year-old skipper of the Cincinnati Reds, the interim manager, took over when Don Hefner was fired right after the All-Star break. Best described by his players as a real fighter. In the seventh inning, Cleon Jones leads off for the New York Mets. Cleon's last time up, he tripled to the right field corner. He came in to score on a base hit by Eddie Cranebull. The game is tied 1-1 as Cleon leads off the seventh inning. Veteran southpaw Joe Nuxall continues to stay ready in the bullpen. The pitch by Pappas, a fastball in the outside corner, strike one. New York has one run, five hits, no errors. Cincinnati, one run, four hits, no errors. And a let-up is popped up into short right field. Tommy Helms, the second baseman, backpedaling, makes the catch for the out. Any one of three probably could have made the grab. The first baseman, Lee May, or the right fielder, Tommy Harper. Now Eddie Cranebull. Eddie has one for two, and that was a run-scoring single, bringing home Jones in the fifth inning. The RBI for Eddie was his 55th of the year. Eddie is the team runner-up and runs batted in. The team leader is Ken Boyer. Now the windup by Milters. His pitch. And it's inside, brushing the hitter at Cranebull away from the plate. One ball, no strike. A high fly ball hits the short left field. In comes Shamsky, the left fielder, to draw a beat on it, and he makes the grab, two men down. Throw Two Up and Two Set Aside by Mel Pappas, and that brings up Hawk Taylor. Taylor has flied to right and been struck out, nothing for two. Hawk batting at 170, has three home runs, 11 RBIs. Hawk has good power when he gets the big end of the bat on one, and the outfield plays him around the left. Now the curve is outside, one ball and no strikes. We'll be on the air with the doubleheader tomorrow at 2, New York time. Actually, airtime 1:55, the doubleheader gets underway at 2 p.m. Jack Fisher and Rob Gardner are the Mets pitchers. Jim O'Toole will work the first game for Cincinnati. And Sammy Ellis will pitch in the second game. Ellis a fireballer, so Dave Bristol wants him working in the later part of the day. Here's the pitch on the way. Low and outside. Two balls and no strikes on Hawk Taylor. The 2-0 delivery. And the fast slider is on the outside corner, 2-1. Bill Pappas kind of shook people up around Cincinnati last night when he announced that he is seriously considering retirement at the end of the season. Might very well be that Milt has a good sense of timing. The 2-1 delivery. Ground ball hit toward the middle. Up with it is Cardenas. The throw to first, he got him. Well, that's highway robbery by Leo Cardenas, taking a base hit away from Hawk Taylor. No runs, no hits, no errors, and none left on. Seventh inning stretch time at Crosley Field. At the end of 6.5, the Mets won, the Cincinnati Reds won. Now here's a word from Rangel.
I don't know the reason. I can't tell you why. More people like Rheingold, the beer extra dry. But we must be doing something. Yes, we must be doing something right.
The seventh inning. Beta Penson leading off for Cincinnati. The Reds have the heart of their batting order coming up against Bob Shaw. Wes Westrum has young Bill Hepler warming up in the bullpen now. The game is tied 1-1. And the pitch by Bob Shaw, a smash to short, caught by Bud Harrelson, one down. Hard line drive, but hit right at Bud Harrelson. One away, nobody on. We mentioned moments earlier talking about Mel Pappas and his stories that he is seriously considering retirement. We're talking to Milt before the game tonight. Milt was saying that he has been thinking all along that if the time came when he was ready to go into business, he might consider retirement. He also probably has a good sense of timing. Here's the pitch on the way. A high fly ball to left center hit by Darren Johnson. Moving in under the ball is Danny Napoleon. He's got it. Two men down. Milt and his partner are opening a brand new restaurant in Baltimore on the 8th of October, World Series time. No better way to get a lot of publicity for your restaurant than to announce your retirement from baseball because you plan to devote full time to your business. Milt said had he still been in Baltimore, naturally he wouldn't consider retiring because pitching would be an asset to him. Outside and low to Lee May, ball one. But as Ralph Kiner knows, having been a great ball player himself, ball players oftentimes at this time of the year will honestly think they are considering retirement. But after they shovel snow all winter and that sun starts to break out, you think a little differently. Foul ball back upstairs and out of play.
I think, Bob, about this time of year, especially if you're having a bad year, that about 90% of the players having a bad year figure this will be the last one.
I can remember a few years ago when Frank Robinson was dead serious when he said he thought he would retire here in Cincinnati. Remember that?
Well, it's a large, really hard grind during a regular season, and you get disappointed when you don't have a good year, and you think, well, there must be an easier way to make a living. But then after that wintertime goes by, you get the urge again.
There's a drive hit high and deep to left field, way back up there, and it's gone, a home run by Lee May to break the tie. May breaks the 1-1 deadlock with a home run into the left field street. His first home run since joining Cincinnati after playing this year at Buffalo in the International League. Big, strong right-hand hitter, and he really ripped out. It's like a hanging curveball that he hit up into the screen. And the Reds are in front, 2-1. Both of their runs have come on home runs. Leo Cardenas and Lee May hitting homers. Now Shamsky, the batter, and the pitch is outside, ball one. Now Tug McGraw and Bob Friend are the warm-up pitchers for the New York Mets. Mets have fallen behind 2-1 on the home run by Lee May. He hit it with two outs and nobody on. And Shamsky hits the ground ball wide at first, fielded by Crane Pool. Shaw comes over to cover, in time on the side is out. One run, one hit on the home run by Lee May. No errors, none left. Now seven innings complete. The Cincinnati Reds 2 and the New York Mets 1. Well, that's the score here at Crosby Field. For those of you who may be joining us late, Ralph will update you on all the other scores.
Well, the Pittsburgh Pirates scored five runs in the top of the seventh inning and defeated Atlanta by a score of 8-6. The crowning blow was a home run by Roberto Clemente, his 27th, with a man on to put the Pirates in front. Pirates a game and a half out now as the Dodgers also lost. Winning pitcher was Steve Blass in relief. Dennis Menke, Bailey, Oliver, and Clemente home runs in that ballgame. Going to the top of the eighth inning, Philadelphia in front of St. Louis by a score of 5-4. Five runs for the Phillies in the third, giving them the edge. Al Jackson knocked out, and now pitching for the St. Louis Cardinals, Joe Horner. Fox pitching for the Philadelphia Phillies in place of starter Jim Bunning. The Chicago Cubs defeated the Dodgers by a score of 4-0. The four-hitter for Ferguson Jenkins, it was his sixth win. He's lost seven. Losing pitcher was Joe Mohler. No home runs in the game. The Pittsburgh Pirates now have seven games left. They trail by 1.5 games. The Dodgers have a total of 8 games left. Still in the race, but 4 games back, the San Francisco Giants. They defeated Houston by a score of 9-5. Willie Mays had a home run in the ninth inning with a man on, his 35th of the year. The winning pitcher was Bob Pretty, and the losing pitcher was Zach Reed. The Giants won it with 5 runs in the 13th inning, and they got 18 hits in the game. In the American League, going to the top of the 10th inning, the final score, actually, as we go through the ninth inning, the score 3-1, Cleveland over Kansas City. Chicago beat Washington 6-2. Detroit over Minnesota 8-1, and the Yankees beat Boston by a score of 1-0. Also on the schedule, Baltimore against California.
All right, Ralph, the eighth inning, Danny Napoleon up against Mel Pappas, a swing and a miss, strike one. Johnny Lewis has come out on deck to bat for Bob Shaw. Shaw pitching a superb ball game, yielding home runs to Leo Cardenas and to Jerry May, or Lee May, I should say. And it's a 2-1 ball game in the eighth inning. Breaking ball, a strike on the outside corner. Danny Napoleon has singled to right and fouled out to first, 1-for-2. Each team has 5 hits. The Reds lead 2-1, top of the eighth inning. Now Milt takes his sign from Pavletti. And the pitcher check swing blooper hit down the right field line. Fair ball for a base hit. Napoleon trying for a double. The throw by Tommy Harper, not in time. He goes in standing up with a two-base hit. A check swing, bloop double down the right field line by Danny Napoleon. So the tying run is on second, nobody out. And now Johnny Lewis will hit for Bob Shaw. Johnny Lewis, the pinch hitter. New York trailing by a run. Napoleon on second, nobody out. Darren Johnson shortens up at third in the event of a bunt. Now Pappas off the stretch. Here's the pitch on the way. A drive hit toward the gap in left center. It may swing in for a hit. It does. Napoleon held up to see. He's still being waved around. He'll score without a play. The game is tied 2-2 on the base hit by Johnny Lewis. Had the Reds gone for a play at the plate, they would have had quite a chance to get Danny Napoleon. Napoleon didn't move over 4 or 5 feet off second base. He was just camped there waiting and thinking, I guess, the ball was going to be caught. Then when he saw finally it was dropping in, he turned it on, was waved around by Whitey Herzog. Benson, not realizing that Napoleon was holding close to second, played the ball back into second base. The Mets have tied it up. It's 2-2. Bud Harrelson up. They look for the butt. Bud bunts the ball, and it is foul. No play. Grabbed quickly by Don Pavletti as Lewis takes off and slides into second. Base hit by Johnny Lewis was not hit hard, but it was perfectly placed in the gap in left center. Game is tied, 2-2. Mets quickly getting even. Now the stretch by Pappas. Here's the pitch. And Harrelson lets it go. It's inside. One ball, one strike. Right-hander Don Nottebart and left-hander Ted Davidson on call now in the Cincinnati bullpen. Lewis, a good base runner, leading off first. And it's over. Strike two called, and Harrelson didn't like it. Bud had the bat out there to bunt, but didn't think he offered at it, and Billy Williams said he offered at it. There's no doubt about the pitch being way out of the strike zone. It was high, and it was outside. That puts Bud at a disadvantage in his hopes to move the runner over, and the count is one ball and two strikes. Any run scored here on the top of the eighth inning belonged to Bob Shaw. Fastball high, 2-2. The only way Shaw can pick up the win is if the Mets grab the lead here in the eighth and then hold the lead. However, Shaw cannot be the loser. He could be the winner. Pitching 2-2. And it's a line drive caught by Cardenas to throw the first double play. Harrelson lines into a double play. A liner going to Leo Cardenas, who doubled up Johnny Lewis with that strong arm of his. Now two outs, nobody on, and the batter is Chuck Hiller. You know, the competition is really tough in the Filter Cigarette League, but Viceroy leads the pack. Anytime you try them, you'll find Viceroy's got the taste that's right. Chuck Hiller hits the first pitch, ground ball to second base, Helms up with it, plays on to first, and the side is out. One run, two hits, no errors, none left on. At the end of 7.5 innings, the New York Mets 2 and the Cincinnati Reds 2.
It's hard to find a job that pays $50 a month anymore. About the only one who has nerve enough to offer you that is Uncle Sam. $50 a month is what you get saved for you during the year you spend in Vista. But people don't join Vista to get rich, except in a special sense. Vista is volunteers in service to America. And Vista volunteers come from all parts of the country. They're all ages, all types. The one thing they have in common is a sense of commitment to something they consider more important than their own comfort. They're spending a year fighting poverty, full time. They're learning all sorts of things about people, about this country, about themselves. VISTA. To get the whole story, write V-I-S-T-A, Box B, Washington, D.C. VISTA, Box B, Washington.
Last of the eighth inning, veteran right-hander Bob Friend, now pitching for the New York Mets. Bob Shaw lifted in favor of a pinch hitter, a move that paid off for the New York Mets, as Johnny Lewis singled home Danny Napoleon with a tying run. So Bob Shaw, who pitched seven splendid innings, can neither win nor lose. He allowed two runs, gave up five hits, did not walk a man, and struck out three. Bob Friend, in 21 appearances, has won five and lost seven. His last outing, he started against the Dodgers on September 13th. In relief this year, Bob has saved one ball game. In the last of the eighth inning, the Reds have the tail end of their batting order coming up. Don Pavletic, Leo Cardenas, and Milt Pappas. The Cincinnati runs tonight have been on home runs by Leo Cardenas and by Lee May. Both hit by right-hand batters up into the screen above the left field fence. Dick Rustek getting loose now in the Mets bullpen. Now Friend has his sign from Hawk Taylor. And the pitch to Pavletic is inside of the letters. One ball and no strikes. Bottom half of the eighth inning, the game tied 2-2. Next pitch on the way, a ground ball hit toward the middle and on through for a base hit to center field. Harrelson just missed flagging it down with that speed of his. And the Reds have their leadoff man on, and it brings up Leo Cardenas. He set a new Cincinnati club record when he hit his 20th home run of the year in the sixth inning. That tied the ball game at 1-1. He had shared the old club record with Eddie Miller at 19. They may get a pinch runner. Chico Ruiz is coming out of the dugout, and Ruiz will run for Don Pavletic. Now, how will they play it? Well, Leo Cardenas, probably the best number eight hitter in baseball, stepping in. The pitcher is scheduled up next. Now the pitch on the way. Fastball in for a strike as he bluffed it a bunt. Jack Hamilton has now joined Dick Rustek in the Mets bullpen. Leo Cardenas has had some kind of a year for a number eight hitter in the batting order. 20 home runs, 80 runs batted in. And he bunts down the first baseline, a good bunt. Cardenas tagged out unassisted by Cranepool. Ruiz goes to second. And now Gordy Coleman is coming out of the dugout, and Milt Pappas is being called back. Veteran first baseman and left-hand batter Gordy Coleman hitting .254 on the year. Five home runs, 37 runs batted in. He'll be hitting for Milt Pappas. Wes Westrum is galloping out to the mound now for a chat with Bob Friend. Tommy Harper is the on-deck batter, and then Tommy Helms. Westrum has left-hander Dick Rustick just about ready in the bullpen if he wants to bring him in to face the left-hand hitter. For Cincinnati, Ted Davidson, a left-hander, and right-hander Don Nottebohr are getting ready. One or the other comes in on the ninth. So the story is, the game is tied 2-2, bottom half of the eighth inning. The Reds have the leading run, Chico Ruiz on second, one out, and Gordy Coleman is the batter. Now the stretch, my friend. Here's the pitch. Way outside, one ball and no strike. New York, two runs, seven hits, no errors. The Reds, two runs, six hits, no errors. Here's the pitch on the way, way outside. Bob Friend in this spot appears to be trying to get Gordy Coleman to go for a bad ball. Otherwise, he's not going to worry too much. Coleman is a slow man. If he draws a walk, and he is, because now they'll intentionally walk him. It sets up the possible double play with a slow runner going to second base. Ball four served outside intentionally. So the intentional walk to Gordon Coleman. Now runners on first and second. One out. It brings up the leadoff batter, Tommy Harper. Harper has one hit and three times at bat. He got that in the first inning, an infield hit. Tommy Harper is hitting .274. Now the Mets have the infield at double play depth, with Bud Harrelson shaded toward the hole on the left side of the infield. The outfield fans toward left slightly. And Bob Friend is in the set position. The runners go. The pitch is inside the peg to throw to double steal. Double steal for Cincinnati. What a jump Chico Ruiz got on Bob Friend. Hawk Taylor didn't have a chance. Now, first base is open. As the result of the double steal, and we're going to get a runner for Gordy Coleman at this point. Darrell Osteen, a pitcher, is going to run for Gordy Coleman. Now let's see how the Mets play it. Now the Mets bring the infield in. Bob Friend with a full windup. The pitch just outside. One ball and no strikes. Runners on second and third. A very alert play on the part of Chico Ruiz really puts the pressure on New York. He led the double steal, and he swiped third with plenty to spare. Friend into his windup. The pitch, a swing and a miss. One ball, one strike. Or check the count, two balls and a strike. The first pitch to Tommy Harper was the pitch they pulled off the double steal, and it was inside for a ball. So now it's 2-1 on Tommy Harper. The game tied 2-2. Mets with the infield in. Bob Friend delivers 2-1. A swing and a miss, and it's 2-2. Tommy Helms, the second baseman, is the on-deck batter. Bob Friend trying to work his way out of a very tough spot. Now the veteran right-hander delivers. A drive in the air to left field, running hard as Napoleon. It goes by him, and it's rolling all the way back to the wall. Cardenas scores. In the score is Osteen, the pinch runner. A double to left by Tommy Harper. And the Reds lead 4-2. Now Tommy Harper hitting a long drive up the left field line just beyond the reach of Danny Napoleon. It rolled back up the hill to the base of the fence. Now the Reds are in front 4-2 here in the last of the eighth inning. The batter is Tommy Helm. Tommy, a right-hand batter, 0-3 tonight, has flied to center, grounded out to third, been called out on strike. Pitch by a friend is off the outside corner, one ball and no strike. Tommy Helms hitting 286. The RBIs for Tommy Harper were his 28th and 29th of the year. There goes the runner, Harper, and it's foul back up into the crowd and out of play. Boy, he had a great jump going for him, but the pitch was fouled off by Tommy Helms. One ball and one strike. Earlier tonight, Harper stole a base, his 28th of the year. He's the Cincinnati club leader by a wide margin in stolen bases. Now, friend, with a 1-1 count, pitches to Tommy Helms. A ground ball past the mound, fielded by Hunt. He throws quickly to first, in time to get the base runner. Tommy Helms holding at second, Tommy Harper. Now there are two away, and it brings up Beta Benson. Benson has gone hitless in three times up. His last time up, he hit a hard line drive, but it was directly to shortstop Bud Harrelson. For the Reds, two runs are in on two hits. On the off the outside corner, one ball and no strike. Don Pavletti got it going for Cincinnati when he singled to center. Leo Cardenas. Bunted Ruiz, the pinch runner along. Ball two, it's 2-0 now on Beta Benson. After a double steal, following an intentional walk to Gordy Coleman, Tommy Harper doubled to left, bringing both men home. And now they will intentionally walk Beta Benson. First base is open. The count had gone to 2-0. And rather than give him something real good to hit, take a chance on coming in with a fat one, they put him on. Last time the Mets did this, to fill the open base, the next hitter up double, driving two runs in. And the hitter now is Darren Johnson. Johnson 0-3 in tonight's game. He had 26 RBIs at the All-Star break, but he has 79 now. Down comes the pitch by a friend. A ground ball to shortstop. Harrelson to his right. Makes his long throw in time and the side is out. But Cincinnati goes out in front by scoring two runs. There were two hits. No errors, two left on. At the end of eight innings, it's the Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 2. Right here, we pause for station identification. This is the New York Mets Baseball Network.
Your station for sports in the great Northeast, WGY Schenectady, the smoothest sound around.
Bob Murphy with Ralph Kiner and Lindsey Nelson from Crosley Field in Cincinnati. Mets come on to hit in the ninth inning, trailing by two runs. Doubleheader tomorrow will be on the air at 1:55 p.m. New York time. For New York, Jack Fisher and Rob Gardner, and for the Reds, Sammy Ellis and Jimmy O'Toole. O'Toole will pitch in the first game, probably against Jack Fisher. And after the doubleheader tomorrow, the Mets fly home and play the Cubs Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon. The Astros next Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon. A game a week from tomorrow, the last game of the season. The National League pennant race has tightened up. Ferguson Jenkins shut out the Dodgers, the Cubs winning 4-0. Pittsburgh stormed from behind, beating Atlanta 8-6. The Giants pulled one out with three in the ninth, and then five in the 13th to beat the Astros 9-5. And as a result, the Dodgers lead, the Pirates a game and a half back, the Giants four games back, they have eight to play. In the fourth place battle, the Phillies beat the Cardinals tonight 5-4. They now lead the Atlanta Braves by one game as they try to claim fourth place in the National League. Don Nattabart is now pitching as we go to the ninth inning. For Nattabart, a busy reliever, his 57th game of the year, he has won five and lost four. In the American League tonight at Yankee Stadium, Fritz Peterson hurled a six-hit shutout as the Yankees beat the Red Sox 1-0. Detroit took a two-game grip on second by beating Minnesota 8-1 for Dave Wickersham. The White Sox toppled Washington 6-2. And Cleveland down Kansas City 3-1 with Luis Tiant the winner. The Orioles and the Angels later tonight at Anaheim. Ron Hunt leading off in the ninth inning, and Nattabart pitches over for a strike. Johnny Edwards is behind the plate now. Pavlovic went out of the game in favor of a pinch runner. The pitch by Nattabart, a breaking ball outside and low, one ball, one strike. If Nattabart protects the lead, the victory goes to Milt Pappas, who worked the first eight innings. 1-1 delivery to Hunt, and it's up and ease for a call strike, one ball and two strikes. Milt Pappas, in eight innings, allowed two runs, gave up seven hits. He walked only one man and struck out five. Pitching 1-2. Bounced foul by Ron back toward the Cincinnati dugout. No play. Count remains 1-2. Nattabart in relief has saved six ball games this year. Now the 1-2 pitch, and it's fouled off. Billy McCool has a little bit of a sore arm right now. He's the ace fireman for Cincinnati. McCool has saved 13 games. McCool, by the way, is going to pitch in the instructional league at Clearwater, Florida, with the idea of being a starting pitcher next year. Mel Queen will be in the instructional league, not as an outfielder, but as a pitcher. Here's the 1-2 delivery, way outside, 2-2 on Ron Hunt. Ron has 2-for-3. Back in the lineup tonight after an absence of seven games. Reds lead 4-2, we're in the ninth. Al Luplo, the on-deck batter, and then Cleon Jones. If the Reds win, they nail down the season series. Way inside on Ron Hunt, and Nattabart has gone 3-2. Mel Queen, by the way, is warming up in the bullpen. Slow ground ball down the third base line. If it stays fair, it'll be a base hit. And it stays fair and stops completely. They had to let it roll, and it stayed fair for a base hit. It rolled to a stop less than halfway toward third. Ron Hunt, thinking it was going to be a very close play at first, made a hard slide going into first base. So Ron has his third hit of the game. That brings up Al Luplo. It also brings back to work left-hander Ted Davidson in the Cincinnati bullpen. Al Luplo has gone hitless in three times up this evening. Nobody out. Hunt is on first. New York two behind. Ninth inning. And the breaking ball inside and low ball one. Reds have the outfield rather deep and around toward right against Luplo. The infield up a stride, a double play depth. Chuck swing and it's under the knees on a fastball. Two balls, no strike. Leon Jones dealing in the on-deck circle, working with the pine tar cloth and the rosin bag to get a tight grip on that bat handle. Now, Nadebard up in pitching position. The 2-0 delivery. A Baltimore chop takes the high bounce, and it's going to be hard to get him. He beats it out of base hit. And the Mets have the tying runs on, nobody out, on an infield hit that traveled less than half the distance to third base. And a Baltimore chop that was driven into the plate took that high, tantalizing bounce. And by the time the Reds could play it out at first base, not in time, an infield hit and the tying runs are on. Now Cleon Jones coming up. Cleon has a triple and three times up. Reds once again have their infield at double play depth. Garden is holding the runner close to second. The pitch to Cleon, a swing and a miss at strike one. Ed Cranepool on deck and then Hawk Taylor. On two infield hits, the tying runs are on, nobody out. Ball that Hunt hit rolled dead less than halfway to third base and about 6 inches from the line. Cleon bunts the ball and bunts it foul. Jones trying to bunt him over. Hunt slides into third, but all to no avail. The ball was bunted foul. Now Nadebard has a two-strike shot on Cleon Jones. Tom Nadebard getting his sign from Johnny Edwards. Two runners take a lead. Now the pitch. A fly ball hits short to left center field. Galloping in is Shamsky, and he makes the catch, one away. Fly ball into short left, one down. Cranepool coming up. Eddie has one hit and three times up. He produced a run-scoring single in the fifth inning, driving home Cleon Jones after Cleon had led off the inning with a three-base hit. Right-hander Don Nadebard pitching in relief, delivers to Cranepool, a fly ball hit to left field. Shamsky back about two steps to center it and makes the catch two down. So the Mets are down to their final out of the ninth inning, trailing by two. They have those two on base. The batter coming up is Hawk Taylor. Hawk is 0 for 3, but he was robbed by Leo Cardenas with the fielding play of the game in the seventh inning. Now Nadebard checks the runners at first and second. A drive hit in the air to left field. Shensky coming in. It drops in, a base hit. Rounding third and in the score is Ron Hunt. And now it's 4-3. That ball was hit off the end of the bat, and it fooled Art Shensky. It died on him. He thought he was going to be able to catch the ball. He wasn't running at full speed. He was coming about half tilt. And it fooled him. It dropped in front of him for a run-scoring hit. Now it's 4-3. And Danny Napoleon is being called back to the dugout. A run batted in for Hawk Taylor. Now the tying run is on second. The lead run is on first. John Fitzmaurice is coming out as a pinch runner for Hawk Taylor. John Fitzmaurice, speedy rookie outfielder, running for Hawk Taylor at first. Al Luplo is the tying run on second. And Larry Elliott is going to bat for Bob Friend. Or check that for Danny Napoleon. Danny had 2-for-3. His base hits were a single to right and a bloop double to right. Now Elliott goes back into the dugout. We're getting a call down to the Mets bullpen. Jack Hamilton will start warming up. The Mets now with a chance to tie this ball game up with two down in the ninth inning. Now Billy Williams looking over into the Mets dugout, and now Larry Elliott comes back out. Runners on first and second, two men away. One run is in. It's now 4-3 Cincinnati. The Mets operating with two down in the top of the ninth inning, needing a base hit to tie this ball game. Larry Elliott has not hit for a high average, but he has delivered a lot of RBIs for the number of games he's played. A slow bouncer foul, no play. Chasing after it is Johnny Edwards. Elliott hitting 247, 32 RBIs in 62 games. And right now, Al Luplo is the tying run on second. John Fitzmaurice, the pinch runner, is the lead run on first. Two down, top of the ninth inning. Nottebohr with a one-strike count on Larry Elliott. Now Nottebohr to the set position. Here's the pitch. Just missed the outside corner. One ball, one strike. Everybody standing in that Cincinnati dugout. They're on tiptoes right now trying to get the final out to nail down a win. Elliott cocks the bat. The 1-1 pitch. And it's a wild pitch. The runners will move up. Racing to third base and holding there is Luplo. And Sean Fitzmaurice goes to second. Now the tying run is 90 feet away. The potential leading run is in scoring position. Low pitch by Nottebohr could not be handled by Johnny Edwards. It went through Johnny's legs and went all the way to the backstop. Now let's see if that changes the strategy of Dave Bristol. The count is 2-1 on Larry Elliott. Luplo, the tying run, is on third. Fitzmaurice is on second. It's officially a wild pitch. Here's the pitch on the way. A line drive down the left field line. Foul. Foul ball down in the bullpen. Foul by 3 or 4 yards. So the Mets throwing a king-size scare into the Reds here on the top of the ninth. Now the count on Larry Elliott is 2-2. And manager Dave Bristol is taking a hike to the mound. He has a left-hander, Ted Davidson, in his bullpen. You don't suppose he'll change right here, do you? Yes, he will, and he is. With a count 2-2 on Larry Elliott,
After that foul ball was hit by Elliott, that convinced Dave Bristol that he should make a change. And Ted Davidson, the left-hander, is coming in. Now, let's see if Wes Westrum will retaliate. Wes will wait until the official announcement puts Ted Davidson in the ballgame before making his decision. Well, Ralph, it may be almost the end of the season and the Reds aren't going anywhere, but you have a trouble convincing Dave Bristol, the young manager of Cincinnati.
Well, there's no doubt about the fact that Dave does not have a job for next year. He's the interim manager, and every win that he gets will certainly be a credit to his side of the ledger, and he's trying to win this one as though it were the final game of the World Series, making a switch to the left-hand batter. Wes Westrum has a job for next year, but Wes in these spots usually does a pretty good job in manipulating his players, too. He likes to counteract the moves of the other managers, and let's see whether or not he's going to make a change. Left-hand pitcher in, and Barry Elliott, a left-hand batter with a count of two balls and two strikes, and the Mets are down to their last out here in the top of the ninth inning. They have the tying run at third base and the go-ahead run at second.
With the count 2-2 on the hitter, regardless of what happens to the hitter, he is the responsibility of the new pitcher, Ted Davidson. But Ted Davidson, who has won 5 and lost 3, and been in 50 ball games this year, is now pitching for the Cincinnati Reds. And Greg Goosen now is coming on the run from the bullpen. And Greg is going to come up and take that last whack at it. But now Wes Westrum is switching to Greg Goosen. Ralph, this is a tough spot for a hitter on a cool night, coming out of the bullpen with a count 2-2.
You can't make it any tougher, Bob, unless maybe you would put him up there with a count 2 strikes and no balls. At least he does have some sort of an edge in as much as the pitcher's in a spot, too, with a count of 2-2.
Greg Goosen, who whacked 25 home runs in the International League at the age of 20 this year. He is strong, and he has a fast bat. Against Jim Maloney last night, he pulled Maloney for a double down the left field line. And later in the ball game, he pulled a blazing fastball that went foul far back up into the seat. So he has a fast bat, no doubt about it. Davidson continues to throw in warm-ups as Greg Goosen tries to warm up his shoulder muscles by swinging three bats around. He went no for them, and now gets rid of all but one.
This could be a scorekeeper's delight right now. This is one of those true tests of how do you keep score.
Now here we go. The Mets trail 4-3. They have Al Luplo on third, Sean Fitzmaurice on second, two men down, and the count on Greg Goosen is 2-2. Davidson the pitcher, Goosen the hitter. Here's the windup. Now the pitch. Foul ball hit down the right field line. That is out of reach. So Goosen going right after it. He can't take anything that's close. Fouled it off down the right field line into the field box area. This has been an interesting ball game from the very beginning. The Reds broke a 2-2 tie with two runs from the last of the eighth inning. Now Davidson looking for his sign from Johnny Edwards. The tall left-hander checks his runner at third. Here's the windup. Now the pitch. A drive foul hit deep down the left field line and far back up against the back wall. Oh, did he ever rip that one. Well, as they say, big fella straightened that one out. He ripped the inside delivery and the count stays at 2-2. The last time a line drive was hit like that, they made a pitching change. This time he can't. It's 2 balls and 2 strikes on Greg Goosen. Now Davidson swings out of his windup. Now the pitch. And it's popped up an infield pop fly. Tommy Helms, the second baseman, is under it. He makes the catch to the left field.
roof and bottom. Fouled two off before he popped it up. He had his one good rip, but he got too far out in front, and the ball went foul. In the ninth inning, one run, three hits, no errors, two left on. Final score, the Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 3.
Hi, sports fans. This is Earl Morrill, quarterback of the New York Giants. Every Monday evening, between 7:30 and 8:30, you can pick up your phone and ask me for the inside facts on pro football. The program is Ask Earl Morrill. You phone me, ask about players and coaches. Ask the questions nobody else has answered. The number you dial during the program is area code 212-661-2810, collect. That's 212-661-2810, collect. We'll give you the number again during the program. So ask me, Earl Morrill, Mondays at 7:30, here on WGY.
School's in means more time for mother, just as school's out meant freedom for the kids in June. Celebrate your extra free time with a special shopping trip and then a carefree lunch at a Mike's Drive-In. Have a luscious Mike's submarine with its tangy secret dressing. Or bite into a Neba, made of layer after layer of perfectly done beef on a soft bun. You've never tried a Neba or a Mike submarine? Well, then do it tonight. Discover for yourself why over 61 million Mike sandwiches have been enjoyed by people in the Northeast.
Final score tonight at Crosby Field in Cincinnati, the Cincinnati Reds 4 and the New York Mets 3. And for the recap, here's Ralph.
Okay, Bob, in the fifth inning, the Mets got the first run of the ball game, and Cleon Jones led off with a triple down the right field line and scored with any great rainbow single through the middle. That gave them a 1-0 lead that was short-lived as the Reds tied it up in the sixth inning on a home run by Leo Cardenas. It was his 20th home run of the year and set a new all-time record for shortstops that have played with Cincinnati, breaking the old record held by Epi Miller, which was set a few years back. In the seventh inning, the Reds added one more run to make it a 2-1 ball game in their favor as Lee May got his first home run of this season, a long home run to left field to put the Reds in front by a 2-1 margin. The Mets, winning by a score of 2-1 in the ball game, got a run in the eighth inning to tie it up and make it a 2-2 game. And at this point, Bob Shaw was taken out of the ball game. Bob Friend came in the ninth inning, after the Reds had scored two runs off Bob Friend, the Mets almost got back in the ball game. The leadoff batter was Ron Hunt, and he dribbled a base hit down toward third base and beat it out. Then Al Luplo chopped one off of the plate that was high in the air, and both runners were safe for two hits in a row. Then Cleon Jones flied out to shallow left field for the first out, and on the first pitch, Eddie Cranepool followed and did the same thing for the second out. But Hawk Taylor, who was left in the bat against the right-hand pitcher, Don Nottebohr, who came in the ballgame in the ninth inning to protect the lead for the starting pitcher, Milt Pappas, gave up a bloop hit in the left field to Hawk Taylor. Mets got a run on that base hit and left runners at first and second, only a run behind. A wild pitch moved them up, and then when the count went to 2-2 and Larry Elliott, who was a pinch hitter for Danny Napoleon, Elliott on his second strike, winding the ball down the left field line, and that was all for Don Nottebohr, and Ted Davidson was brought in. With a count of 2-2 and Davidson in the ballgame, manager Wes Westrum made a change and brought in Gray Goosen from the bullpen. But under tremendous pressure, Ted Davidson threw three straight pitches. Two of them were fouled away, one hard, as Bob was telling you, and then finally a pop-up to second base to end the ballgame with a time run at third base and the go-ahead run at second. The winning pitch in the ballgame was Milt Pappas. His record now even at 11-11. He worked eight innings, gave up two runs, and allowed a total of seven base hits. He was helped out by Don Nottebohr and also Ted Davidson. Losing pitcher was Bob Friend, who worked one inning. Bob gave up two runs and two hits. His record now 5-8. So the Mets have lost the second game of this series. They have a doubleheader tomorrow. 5,575 saw the throwing ball game that was really played here in front of one of the small crowds of the season. The Lions score in the ball game, the Mets winning the ball game. The Reds winning the ball game. 4 runs, 7 hits, no errors. The Mets 3 runs, 10 hits, and no errors.